sir.
Okay, we're getting ready to do your hearing. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Council on this beautiful Monday afternoon, sir. And the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will conduct your hearing. He will be the lead, so just hold on. As soon as he's ready, that will be the next voice that you will hear, sir.
All right. Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Just for the record, sir.
It's very vague, but I can hear you.
You can listen well now?
I feel very vague. I can barely hear you, but I hear you.
Is there a volume on the phone that maybe you could cut off some?
Again, would you speak up, please?
Is there a volume on the phone that you may be able to cut up? Turn up?
Yes, I'm on the phone. He just pushed the volume button to turn up, so...
Is that any better?
Alright.
Is that better? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sir, just for the record, could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us?
My name is Willie Lee Parker, 033960.
Okay, Mr. Parker, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable David Hill, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's on board chair, and sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Westby. Mr. Parker, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, I did receive the violation report.
Okay. Sir, on that form, it notified you of the right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm not representing myself.
Okay. Well, at this time, Mr. Parker, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do swear before God.
I do.
Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, the board will make a recommendation whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out at phase one. Sir, you have three allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, Mr. Parker, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
The first allegation states that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about May 25th, 2018, per the task lab report dated May 28, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
It is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. The next allegation on your warrant states that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about June 9, 2018, per the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcoholic Detention Report dated June 11, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's false? Okay.
Sir. Yes, it's false for using alcohol on 6/11.
It was reported on June 11, 2018. The date was June 9, 2018. On or about June 9, 2018. And the report date was June 11, 2018.
Yes, no, I didn't use alcohol on June 9th.
Okay. So the next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about June 19, 2018, per the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal, I hope I'm saying that right, alcohol detention report dated June 21st, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, false.
Okay. And then the next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about June 22nd, 2018, per the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detention Report dated June 28, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
It's false.
Okay. All right, so based that you said that allegations 2, 3, and 4 are false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, to get some additional information, okay?
All right.
On May 30th, 2018, the defendant was fitted with a transdermal alcohol detection device due to a recent positive UA for alcohol on May 25th, 2018. The defendant was required to download the data from the TAD monitor every week, with the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 11th, 2018. The defendant had a drinking event on June 9th, 2018. This drinking event lasted 2 hours. During this time, the defendant had a peak transdermal alcohol content of 0.043. Follow-up. For the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 11, 2018, the defendant exhibited a skin resistance high event that lasted for approximately 4 hours in addition to testing positive for alcohol on the same date. For the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 11, 2018, the skin resistance data is consistent with an obstruction between the offender's skin and the device, and there is a copy of the transdermal report attached to the warrant.
Okay, so what's not true about allegation number 2, sir?
About allegation number 2, is the date for the 9th? 6/9/18? Because I'm looking here on the paperwork, we have 6/11 to 6/9, and it says that at the time of 6/9, that my tax score read at 4:01 p.m. Mr. Waite listed it as 0.043, but at that time at 4:01 p.m. it was actually 0.018 according to the tax score on the report that was done for the transdermal alcohol detection unit. So it's inconsistent with what he's saying.
According to what I'm looking at, it does show that it says 0.043, and when I'm looking at one that says that the event date was 6/9 at 16:01, which is 4:01, that the peak score was 0.043, and that's the same thing that it has in the warrant.
Well, I'm on page three of three, and it has on there tech done prepared by HAR, and it says it's 6/9/18, 4:01 p.m. that the tech normal score, the alcohol tax score, is 0.018, what I'm saying here.
Okay, I don't know where you're reading that. I'm looking at a sheet that's not, none of our sheets are numbered, but I'm looking at a sheet that that has a response date of June 11th at 1305. It has a event end date of June 9th at 1601, which is 401. And then it has a peak.
It's 401.
A peak.
PM. This right here, say 401 PM. What's the tax score? 0. Let's say 0.018. Yeah, I'm here with the counsel, sir. I don't have that paperwork, but Mr. Jackson is here. He's looking at it here at the paper, if you'd like for him to verify that.
Oh, I see that. I see that at 3:01 p.m. it has a 0.018. And what it says, the 0.43, the 0.043 is the highest, is the peak score that you have. Looking at the score from, it has June 9th, it actually starts at 2:41 p.m. And then it goes all the way to, from 2:41 p.m. to 4:01 p.m., which is the time period. And so the highest score that you had during that time period was at 3:06 p.m. was .043. And then it started to go down at that from point at 3:06 p.m. it was .043. And then it goes down from .043 to .0018 at 4:01 p.m.
Okay, well, I don't see that. That's not in the warrant paperwork that I received.
Huh?
I don't see that in my other report. I don't see that at all. It's stapled together. I have them here, but
I don't know what you have there, but what I tell you what I'm looking at is that there's a sheet on here that has a chart on there, and then it has alcohol levels recorded on the bottom, and then it starts there, starts on 6/9/18, ends at 2:41 p.m. And then it, on the other one is one sheet all by itself. It only has three times on there, 3:51, 3:56, and 4:01.
Mm-hmm.
And that one page that only has those three on there is where at 4:01 it has 0.18 on there. Is that what we're about to, the other sheet above that shows that your highest level was 0.43. So I'm going to go ahead to allegation number three, sir.
On May 30th, 2018, the defendant was filled with trains during alcohol detection device. The defendant was required to download the data from the TAD monitor every week, where the Correctional Health Care Trains during alcohol detection report dated June 21st, 2018. The defendant had a drinking event on June 19th, 2018. The drinking event lasted for 2.5 hours. During this time, the defendant had a peak transurinal alcohol content of 0.036. And there is a copy. Let's double check here. Make sure we have this report out here. Then there is a copy of the report that is the June 21st, 2018 shows the THC event on June 19th, 2018 is attached to the board. And it does show that the peak age. On page two of the report, that there was a peak alcohol level of 0.036 at 10:52 a.m.
True about that allegation?
Allegation number three, sir?
Yes, sir.
That I wasn't drinking on that at those times, I wasn't. Okay. The monitor was reading, I believe that there were some environmental issues that was going on with the three allegations. There was urinalysis that was dropped during those time periods. I was also under doctor's care with that was on the best medical group, and the doctor there is Dr. Ruben Ramos, and he had prescribed medication for me, and he would do my lab work each time that I came in, and as well as me dropping four times for tasks, and the one that came up was the one for alcohol, in which I made a mistake at that point. But I was also, and once Mr. Wade put me into the drug treatment center, I was told to blow every night that I left and came back into the facility. So I blew and I dropped urinalysis there. And I believe Mr. Wade should have checked that because I was involved into their program, and there was no dirty breathalyzers or dirty UAs as far as that goes. So the allegations about the trans thermal machine, like I said, it wasn't a urine specimen. It was just detected probably from environmental things that I use on my skin, lotion. I had my hair permed. I had stuff like that. I had asked, Mr. Wade had asked me in the beginning of our meeting that he wanted to be involved with my doctors at LifeWell, in which I was going to, and any other medical doctor. So he told me to make sure I signed a consent form in order for him to be able to do follow-ups to see what was going on with me. So I made that available to him once I made the initiation of going through the various doctors at cardiology. They did the lab work on me too, with no alcohol in my system. The baseline, I did another one with LifeWell. I did the one with Arizona Medical Group, but I did one with Sun Radiology. And there's no other alcohol. The monitor was on my leg, true. I had Mrs. Megan over at CAC. My legs had swollen up so bad, she unloosened the vice. And I went in to see Mr. Wade. He asked me to come into the office, and it was he and his supervisor and three other people.
Mr. Parker.
That was there.
Parker. Okay, I'm going to give you, you're going to have more of an opportunity to further explain that when we go to phase two. But right now I'm going to go to allegation number four and have Mr. Wesley give us some more information on allegation number four.
Device due to a recent positive in weight for alcohol on May 25th, 2018. The federal is required to download the data from the TAD monitor every week. With the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 28th, 2018, the federal had a drinking event on June 22nd, 2018. This drinking event lasted for 9 hours. During this time, the federal had a peak transdermal alcohol content of 0.076. Follow-up. With the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 28, 2018, the offender exhibited a skin resistance high event that lasted for approximately 7 hours, in addition to testing positive for alcohol on the same date. With the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detection Report dated June 28, 2018, the skin resistance data is consistent with an obstruction between the offender's skin and device, and attached to the one is a copy of that report dated June 28, 2018, that shows that at approximately 7:47 p.m. that day, there was a high of 0.076 for the alcohol. And I might also add that in the criminal notes, it stated that regarding the body care or hygiene products here, it said that the claim claims due to hair products and deodorant he puts on his body, but he was reminded that he placed his products on his body every day, nor only trigger tampering alcohol event during a specific time, so therefore his excuse was not considered valid.
Okay. All right, Mr. Parker, what was thoughts about allegation number four? Mr. Parker?
Yes.
So what was false about allegation number four?
I wasn't drinking on that event or tampering with the device.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. I am going to make a motion. As far as allegation number one goes, it will be at the admission, Mr. Parker, on allegation number one. Allegation 2, 3, and 4, it will be as a result of the information contained in the warrant number 2018W1874A, as well as the information received from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. I am going to find that Mr. Parker violated the terms. Mr. Parker was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about the lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree. Mr. Neal. Agree. Dr. Wright. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, Mr. Parker, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two. We're getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then we're going to come and go through some information with you, sir. and then we'll give you the opportunity to provide any additional information that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Wesley.
On November 18th, 2018, Mr. Parker was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested June 29th, 2018 by an ABC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody that same day, June 29th, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of January 9th, 2020, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2011, aggravated DUI, 3 counts, each for 10 years. Prior convictions, 1975, burglary, 5 years. 1978, burglary, 7 years. 1978, theft, 7 years. 1978, burglary, 7 years. 1978, it appears that there's, in 1978, there were 2 counts of burglary for 7 years and 2 counts of theft for 7 years. 1981, endangerment, 1 year, 10 months, 15 days. 1985, aggravated assault, 7.5 years. 1994, resisting arrest, 3 years, 9 months. 1999, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. This is his 6th term in DOC. His CU IR score is a 2-1. Mental health score is a 3 with SMI noted. Substance abuse score is a 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1990, parole release, arrested on type violation, revoked by the BOEC. 1996, temporary release, arrested on type violation, administratively revoked. 1996, home arrest release, completed 2 months. 2007, TIS release, arrested on current offense, reinstated by the BOEC, arrested on second current offense, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs noted. Other arrests, 1977, theft, disposition unknown, Arizona. 1999, weapons and explosives, Arizona, disposition unknown. All other arrests resulted in the charges that were either not filed or dismissed. His community risk score is a G1-B1.
The person said he had in 96 on his release. It was a home arrest, I thought you said, I wasn't right.
That is correct. It says home arrest release completed in 2 months.
Okay, Mr. Parker, when you were released, you were approved to reside at 6344 West Thomas Road. And you stated that your wife was evicted from the approved address, then you requested and were approved to reside at 3224 West College in Phoenix. Then it looks like on June 20th, you were directed to establish residence at Community Behavioral Modification Program located at 2501 West Elm Street. Sir, were you staying there at the time that you were arrested by ADC?
Yes, at 3224 West College.
Okay, so...
And I was that was my approved address, and I was staying at the D-Ray Center there at 2501 West Elm, that's correct.
Okay. So, were you working during that period of time?
No, I was undergoing extensive doctor's treatment.
So it says that you referred to tests, your color was maroon. You failed the test when your color was called on May 18th. And then you provided a specimen for testing as directed by your CO, but was positive on May 25th for ETG to the alcohol. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, they changed your color to J. It looks like on May 29th you failed to test when your color was called on June 12th of 2018 and on June 15th, 2018. You provided a specimen for testing as directed that was negative on June 28th. Is that right?
Yes, it was negative. Mr. Wade had, he told me that a color change was going to come, but he hadn't gave me that color, so that's the only reason why that I missed. I didn't get the color. I still was going under maroon. I'm sorry about
tell us what you're saying, sir, that you were staffed with parole officer Flashman on May 29 for the use of alcohol. He referred you to the correctional health care for a moral recognition treatment and the fitting of a transdermal alcohol detection device. You didn't complete that program. You were staffed by the parole officer on June 20 for the use of alcohol. He referred you to the residential community behavioral health modification program for a 90-day program, and you didn't complete that program. Why didn't you complete any of those programs, sir?
Well, first of all, when he sent me to MRC, MRC, I went out there, and he was expecting me to be there at 7. I went to the MRC program out on, I believe it's Black Canyon City and something like that. Anyway, I went there, was ready to check in. The officers then went through my bag and my clothes and what have you. The head lady that oversees the MRC program, she said to me, she says, Mr. Parker, you have a lot of medical appointments that you have to be attended to and that you're going to see different specialists. She said, so therefore, in order for you to complete that program, for you to complete your program here at MRC, she said, you at least need to be in here for 14 days. So your medical situation outweighs your programming. So what I'm going to suggest to you and what I'm recommending is that you go back and you see your parole officer, which was Mr. Wade, and allow him to set up another type of a program for you. She says, so you're free to go. So I never got started at MRC, so that was the only reason for that one. The one at B. Ray at 25th Street and Elm, I was told the next following day after I left MRC, my parole officer came in and I staffed with him and I forget the Mexican gentleman's name that was there. It was he and Fleshman and Mrs. Murray. My parole officer wasn't present at that time. She was filling in for Mr. Murray was. And they told me, they said, okay, we're going to send you to 2501 West Elm Street to Vivray. And you need to be there by 7 o'clock p.m. So I went and checked in to Vivray with my belongings, willing to do what I needed to do in order to stay free from the mistake that I made earlier by dropping that task for the 30 of alcohol. So I checked in with B-Ray and spoke with a gentleman named Juan, and Juan told me that, he says, you know, Mr. Parker, he said, you know, we have a 10-hour requirement class scheduled that you need to be complete 10 hours. So said, okay, so I have a problem with that. He said, you also will be breathalyzed, and you age each time that you leave out of the facility, going out to various appointments for that day. So I said, okay, I'm fine with that. And the only reason I didn't get to complete is because Mr. Wade didn't allow me to. He violated me and sent me back to prison. So I blew breathalyzers for them each day that I came in. I also dropped UAs for them as well. And I asked Juan, I said, do you report these to Mr. Wade? He said, if he called and asked me about it, because this is an inpatient drug treatment center, he said that I'll give him the results from the computer. So apparently Mr. Wade didn't call, because between the transdermal device on my leg and the things and the doctors and specialists that I was seeing, there was no other alcohol detection that came from a urine specimen, or neither were there anything from the breathalyzer from which I blew. He showed him zero. He would have notified him if I had any type of dirty for alcohol or anything in my system. So that's the reason why I didn't complete it. I found that in the course that I was at the grade, it was I was appreciative that Mrs. Murray and the gentleman at the facility, I forget his name, they recommended that I go there, because it was perfect for me in order for me to reestablish myself back out in society, because not only for the breathalyzer in the year analysis, but because they had recommended that I go to a building blocks. That's another part of the program in V-Ray. And that program would help me establish my goals and reach my goals and life skills that I needed to do, because I was assigned a one-on-one counselor. So that was the reason why I didn't get to complete it, but I had planned on for the 90 days. He wanted me to be there for the 90 days. So I took on a positive attitude to try to make sure that I could accomplish that, because I know I had my grandchildren and my wife, my family, that I also reached out to Providence Matters as off of 20, off of 30 or 32nd Street and Weir, so that I could further my programming and my treatment, so that I would have an opportunity to be in their lives without me making any more foolish mistakes that I did, or when I did drop dirty a task. So I'm responsible for that.
Okay.
For that mistake. And you know, I'm just truly a contritely sorry and repentant, you know, deep in my heart for that, because I wanted to prove to Mr. Wake that I could complete the program, and that I could, that my only intentions was to show him that I could abstain from alcohol and refrain from anything like that in the future. So my abstinence and the reason why I wanted to correct myself is because my choices was to build a life that is free from criminal processes, a life that produces positive thinking to stay free. You know, I transformed my thoughts, and that by me attending in those programs, that it would be best for me, because I didn't need my old patterns. I had to let them go. But like I said, I wanted to abstain from alcohol and correct my mistakes and my wrong.
Okay.
And I would like to continue, you know, to be great, because they have an excellent program here. And for once in my life, I finally got around to get somebody that would help me into my situation that I was going through, to help me prevent from being violated and coming back to an institution. My whole objective is to try to remain and be successful in my sobriety, and to try to complete the program, which I had the opportunity to complete it at Vivre. I guess that's how you pronounce it. I always say it by reading. I get it sometimes. I'm mispronounced words.
That's fine, sir. Let me see. Mr. Westby, the parole officer, has some information you want to present. Go ahead, Mr. Westby.
Yes, I just wanted to say that was true of reviewing the task notes on there, and yes, the ear analysis test that he did submit on the 28th of June was negative. He didn't have any alcohol in the system at that time when he submitted the UA. However, there is a promo note here from parole officer Wade stating that he received an email from CAC electronic monitoring specialist Smith, and stated that the TAD showed the defender at a drinking event June 23rd, and they had submitted for confirmation. Professor Wayne spoke with Mr. Smith regarding the confirmation test, and he stated that the confirmation test is similar to a GCMS. It was confirmed that the defender had a drinking event and not a false positive for alcohol due to cologne or any other hygiene products. So there is a test, a secondary test they do with the TAD, which is like the GCMS that TASC uses to exclude any false positives.
Okay, does the board have any additional questions? I said any additional questions coming from the board. Mr. Parker, we're coming up to the conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I may be part of that. I didn't understand what you just said.
We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself? Did you hear me, Mr. Parker?
You said something about the accusations, what? But I repeat myself?
No. Sir, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board?
Mr. Wade, when he put down that my wife was evicted, that is my brother and my sister-in-law's house. And what they had done, they had sold the house at Thomas, and when I came home, they had moved to the 32nd Street and College Drive. So that was never intended for my wife to be there. You know, she wasn't there, so I just like to say that, you know, I'm responsible for my mistake, you know, based on the task report. And like I said, it's contritely, I'm sorry about what happened deep in my heart. I'd like to reiterate that, and I'd like to explain to Mr. Wade that I told him that I didn't adjust or tamper with my device, and once he knew that the device had been loosened because it was loosened around my leg, that there was a possibility that, you know, something, my sock or whatever, or the chemicals that I was using on my body may have interfered with that. And Mr. Wade told me, he said, not Mr. Wade, but Mr. Fleshman, he badgered me, and Ms. Murray had to come in and tell him, say, Wade, she said, there's something in the file here where Megan adjusted his bracelet on his leg, so he wasn't tampering with it. It got adjusted because my legs had swollen up from due to my high blood pressure and hypertension, as well as, I have my health is failing right now at this time. I have a lung issue that I was going to the cardiologist for and radiology that they said that it was a dark spot in a pocket at the bottom of my right lung where I was shot before in 1993. And it also was running tested for sleep apnea at a center that was out in North Phoenix where I wake up gasping for breath. Also, there was another incident where they talk about my heart. My heart is, I have a low heart rate at 43 to 47 beats a minute. And he says that it's some type of film that's over my heart that needs to be addressed, and they were sending me to other known specialists. Since my first week being out, I was set up with different and various specialists about my condition, as well as he was talking about doing my doctor's Raymond Damus, like I said, at Arizona Best Medical Group. He was talking about doing an epidural on my lower back because of my spine being twisted, and after so many years I got hit on a horse before. And he's also talking about addressing my arthritis that's in my legs, and he also mentioned about the aneurysm that I have in my head. He was sending me to an MIR and also for CT scan, as well as surgery that's scheduled for my bunions. He is scheduled for me to have foot surgery in September. So around approximately about the 10th, around the 19th, I just hadn't really seen the specialist at that point, but he made it a part of his medical notes. So again, like I said, my choice is just to build a life that is free from the criminal processes, a life that produces positive thinking and stay free. I transform my thoughts that I don't need, my old patterns, I let them go. I will abstain from alcohol and try to be sorry for my mistake and wrong.
Okay.
I like to continue in the treatment and diary and building blocks. I truly like to structure a positive environment and that my abstention is my priority to be successful in my sobriety. And I'm praying for another opportunity to complete the program at Byree and Father's Matters and Life Well while I was going to mental health. They also was taking baselines on my lab work to make sure that I continue to take my medication, along with my willingness is to make changes and continue with positive solutions. And my short and long-term objective is to stick to the plan of my recovery. So I need help from my community that has it offered to me.
So have you been drinking since you've been incarcerated?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Some more additional questions coming from the board. The board's going to go into discussion, Mr. Parker. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent. However, to stay on the phone so that you can hear the conversation taking place. The board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, okay?
All right.
The board's now into discussion. It looks like, based on the past, that Mr. Parker has been out on lease four separate times. Three of those times, he had a tech violation. One of the times, as He's on the current, and one time he was out on home arrest. He did complete the home arrest. He did have a UA that was taken by TASC that was positive for alcohol. He did have three tests that was performed by the Correctional Healthcare Transdermal Alcohol Detention report that detected that he had had alcohol in his system during that period of time. According to Mr. Parker, he states that he didn't do anything to try to delete it, but there are three reports in here referring back to those actual dates that these incidents occurred, that it occurred over a period of time, that he had highs and he had lows during that period of time, which recorded the high periods and some of them that he was drinking for a period over an hour or 2 hours. Therefore, he does have one of the current crimes that he's incarcerated for now is an aggravated DUI. Which occurred in 2011. I don't think that, based on the information contained in the warrant, information that we received from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, the fact that he does have a TASC report of a consuming alcohol, as well as the transdermal alcohol detention reports that we have, I don't think that Mr. Parker would be a good candidate to, again, go out on community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the comments.
Okay.
Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Parker.
Second.
Find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses about the lapse into criminal ways for the reason that I just previously stated.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself. Second. Second, Dr. Wright. Agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Parker?
Yes.
Excuse me, sir. The board voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on January 9th of 2020. At that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time, sir. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir.
Good.